talk to Amy about physician practice assessments. So to get us started, Amy, would you please tell everyone how you initially got into doing assessments?
So initially, I was working as a risk manager with a healthcare organization. And at that time, this was in the early years of hospitals actually purchasing physician practices and onboarding the physicians and the advanced practice providers. So we were about seven in when we realized we probably need to have an idea about what we don't know that goes on in those physician practices. And you really don't know what you don't know. So as we were onboarding these practices, and at that point, going back to those seven, I just really started going out to focus on, what are we doing in these practices? What kind of patients do we see? What kind of procedures are we doing? Overall, overarching, is there training? Is there orientation? Is there any type of documented policies, things that would fit normally into our hospital and our organizational structure? What did these private practices that are now being brought on board have that reflected that? And if there wasn't anything, then how did we better align them with our organization, since they're now part of it, to make sure that they fill in with our risk management plan, our quality plan? Because when you're looking at physician practices, you know, one, they're the gateway to your hospital. And two, all of your patients are being touched by physician practices.
Right.
Either at some point in their care spectrum. And three, really what I wanted to focus on was, did our goals align? And then how could we, from a patient quality and patient safety aspect, align the goals for our patients? I got out there and I realized, you know, there's not a lot that we did know about what was going on. We found practices that had, at that time, glutaraldehyde, and they were doing high-level disinfection on endoscopes with glutaraldehyde under no hoods, with no staff competencies, inpatient rooms. We had practices that were using autoclaves, not surgical practices, but family practices that we didn't realize were actually doing invasive procedures. So what's your training and competency? Do you have the IFUs, the information for users, the owner's manual on these certain things, so that you could make sure that you were hitting all your maintenances and all the quality controls you needed? So what I really realized was, one, there was not a good overall enterprise risk assessment tool, and two, we didn't know what we didn't know. That really brought my focus to those physician practices, how we could make them safer and have better quality for our patients.
So it sounds like you came up with a very effective way of looking at practices specific to their type, what kind of patients they're seeing, but also how do they fit into the bigger organization? How do they mesh with everybody else that's there, using an enterprise-wide risk idea to go about that? I like that, having lots of different topics that are specific but can also be tailored for a type of practice.
Right, and when we're looking at the topics too, it's not just about your type of practice, but you know, when you go into your physician practices nowadays, the first thing they ask is for your copay. So does the money handling in the practices reflect the money handling in the organization? So if you have a courier that goes to patient financial services to collect and then take to a deposit at a bank, what are they doing in the practices?
Right.
Are they following that same method? Do they have the same scrutiny on their documentation of their cash drawers, their deposits? Is anybody following that same revenue cycle, making sure that coding is correct, making sure that you're not going to get any rack denials at the end of the years for upcoding or upcharging? So really looking at high-level things that you can align to the hospital, and then lower level things that you can align across all practices, and then into those specifics. That was really how I wanted to approach it. And in the areas that we could align, such as training and competencies, money handling, billing, infection prevention, making sure that we did align organizationally, and that we could incorporate those staff into our organizational training so that they had the background and the tools and the education they needed to be successful, so our patients were successful.
That sounds great. Would you talk next about how you actually do an assessment? I know there's lots of background work that you do, so maybe a little bit on that, but more specifically, how do you do practice? What's the steps, and then what do you do at the actual location?
So the first thing I like to do is, one, before I ever go on location, and we can do it in person, but I feel like sometimes taking care of the background work outside and then coming in frees up people's time a little more. Sure. Makes it feel less onerous to the staff that are participating. Right. And it makes it a little more user-friendly, so they're a little more open to communication with me. So
you mean a stranger coming in their office?
That's right. That's right. So the first thing I like to do is set up, either in person or via WebEx, really is to get that background. One, what practice are we talking about? What are those patient demographics? What types of procedures do they do? Get the specifics and the nitty-gritty for that practice. And then two, establish, what are the policies? What procedures do we follow? What workflows do we have set up? So when I talk about a workflow, for instance, when we talk about results management. So if you have a mammogram ordered on Amy, how do you make sure that that order actually got to radiology? And if it got to radiology, how do we know it got scheduled? And if it got scheduled, how do we know that the patient showed up? And if the patient showed up, then how do we know that the test was done? And then after the test was done, what happened to that result? Did the result come back to your office? And if it came back, then how did it get to that provider? And then did the provider follow up? And was that all documented in a way in that patient's chart that we could see that closed loop communication with that patient?
Right.
So you're really wanting to look at workflow in that way. To, and how is it ideally? So on that first part is really the, I call it the Pollyanna. This is how it would work in a perfect world.
Right.
And you're really getting prepared for that on-site visit.
Okay.
And then as you come into the on-site visit, I start outside. And I look for what I call the general liability issues. So slip, trips, falls, handicap ramps. Do you have handicap parking appropriate to the type of practice you have? So for orthopedics or neurology, do you have more handicap spaces close to the front? Do you have an ample amount of the handicap ramp success? So specifics to that, and then walking in through that patient's flow to see if there are, you know, slip, trip, fall issues, sidewalks that have been buckled and become uneven. So you're doing a really good environmental assessment, but as you walk into the lobby, it's not just environmental. You're also listening for confidentiality. Can you hear the staff at the front desk discussing patients? So you're following the flow of a patient in, but you're looking at much different things than your patients would look at. And then once you make that contact in the practice with the person who's going to be completing the assessment, I go in like a patient. So if there's a triage area where they check your vitals, we go through that. I actually like to watch someone be checked in. I like to watch a patient be triaged in. If they're doing medication reconciliation, is it the correct way? So Sarah, I see that you were here last month. Have your medications changed since then? Or are they going through each individual medication? So it's a lot of observation of multiple things going on at once and making sure that you hit all the different areas. I like to go into several patient rooms when they're empty. Check for expiration date. Check for items that are supposed to be single patient use but are being used multiple times. I like to watch staff clean things. So if a patient has been discharged out of the room, is the room actually being cleaned? And are we meeting our wet contact times? So we're looking at a whole spectrum of things. And then once we've gone through that entire practice and touched on a good sample representation of the exam rooms, we've hit the lab if there's a lab. We've gone into x-ray if there's an x-ray. And we've hit all of those different areas. Then I go back with that contact and that physician practice to sit down and, one, give a verbal debrief of what did I see. I don't want this to be a surprise when the report comes back and they say, oh, I don't know what she's talking about. I didn't see
right.
it. So it's really that in-time training of what this is what I saw. And if I've ever worked with that organization before or with similar practices with other organizations, here's how some other people do it that works well for them. So we really go through that verbal, and then we follow up at the end with a numeric score so you can benchmark, and then you also have a narrative summary. And for practices that are part of a larger either physician practice group or health system, we do an executive debrief. So if you need to sit down with leadership, but it's a PowerPoint driven, either in person or by WebEx debrief on what are the top trends, what are the outliers, what are your internal resources I've identified if you have looked at more than one practice, And then what are my recommendations? And then that all follows up with a physician practice risk assessment toolkit that I've put together. And we look at that annually. We add more best practices to it. We delete things that are old. We add in new. So we go to the Institute for Safe Medicine Practices. We look at medication reconciliation. We look at the way they talk about medication, and that goes under that medication section. So we break out that toolkit to match that assessment tool, and we make sure that there are things in there that give people who have had these assessments a starting point, because we really don't want them to have to recreate the wheel. If it's so hard to climb that mountain for quality improvement, then a lot of the times what we see is it doesn't get done. So we try to make that as easy for them as possible.
I really like that. I like that you take what the ideal situation is supposed to be, and through interviews you kind of figure out what are they actually doing in these practices, and then kind of looking at it from start to finish. When a patient comes in their car and they parks, or they're dropped off, how do they get in, how are they seen, and then how are they sent along their way? I think the best thing is the internal experts across practices or organizations if needed. I really like that. I think that's a great thing to do. Anything else from a standpoint of doing an assessment?
I mean, when you're thinking about completing a physician practice risk assessment, it's always great, even if you're going to self-audit, to have a set of eyes that is not in that practice every day. It's so easy to walk past the same thing and you see it on a regular basis, and it gets to the point where you don't see it. So it's always good to have that second set of eyes that comes in that doesn't have a preconceived notion, doesn't have a bias to that practice. They're just coming in and taking a really broad look at things, and the true goal of that is true process improvement and quality improvement.